Leviticus 9, verse 6. Pray in tongues for a few seconds. You get a word, a definite word for this year, I believe. God will confirm things. Keep praying. The Holy Spirit is reminding me again. I asked him to remind me. Is there someone, your name or your son? Keep praying in tongues. Someone who, by name Jelili. Is that your surname or your name? Jelili. I was meditating this morning and I heard the name Jelili. And I said, Holy Spirit, if you want me to pray that, remind me in the service. And while I was here, it has come to me twice. Jelili. Jelili. Anybody with that surname, even in the overflow? It's your name or your surname or one of your major names, Jelili. If that person is here on the overflow, let them come to me. Let them just come. Amen. One, two, go. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord, the thing ye should do. And the glory of the Lord, what shall appear? John 11, 40. Jesus said unto her, seeth I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest what? See the glory. In the old covenant, they said, what you will do. Jesus says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. I won't be going to, you know, defining the glory of God. We've done that over the weeks. That the glory of God is the weight of God. Is the way we value the worth of God. Is the beauty, is the honor, is the mercy and the goodness of God. You can read all of that. Exodus 33, when Moses cried out saying, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, you cannot see my face and live, but there's a place by me. And when I pass, you know, in front of you, he covered his face. And when he saw God's back, he saw what? His goodness. He saw his grace. And John chapter 1, we see the glory of God revealed in Jesus as grace and truth. We beheld his glory, full of what? Grace and truth. So when we speak about the glory of God, we're talking about, you know, it manifesting as his grace, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness. Somebody shout glory. So God said, this is the thing that you will do and you see his glory. And last 2 weeks, I believe, we had a context. We read the entire word, Leviticus, but I won't be going to read all of them again. We see in verse 23, let's go to verse 23. And I promised to define some of those offerings. One more water. Amen. And Moses and Aaron, go from verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down, offering what? The sin offering. Say the sin offering. Say the burnt offering and the peace offering. And then he blessed them. He prophesied over them, and the glory of God what? Appeared. And we saw that when he spake, the fire of God came, and then the glory came. Amen. By the way, we're going to be having a weekend. In fact, I think he might just be, we'll have Pastor P. Daniel to come here. We're going to have a fire time, a time where we, praying and and ministering and trusting God that the fire of God will rest on God's people. So I've told him, and you get the date. Amen. There are about 5 major sacrifices in the Bible. Somebody say 5. There is the sin offering. Say the sin offering. There's the burnt offering. There's the grain offering. There's the peace offering. And then there's the trespass offering. How many? Please read them out. Remember that we said that there is no altar without what? Sacrifice. And these were sacrifices that were stipulated and ordered for by God. Number one, so let's look at the sin offering. Say the sin offering. Sorry, I just bought this new. I don't even know how to set it, so it keeps vibrating. I wish I wore my normal watch. We bought it for the health benefit, so it's distracting me. Help me. By the way, those who want phones, your phones are here. A sin offering was a sacrifice made according to the Mosaic law. Primarily, it was for atonement. Say atonement. Now, you're going to be writing a lot in this first half, and then when we get into the message proper, you listen and write by the Spirit. Now, the Hebrew phrase for the sin offering literally means fault offering. Say fault. So it was an offering that was given for people who had unintentionally sin. And this was required. See, it was required. You see, this offering and the trespass offerings are compulsory. Say compulsory. Other offerings are voluntary, and they were not rigid in the way to be offered. The sin offering was made for sins committed in ignorance. And like I said, they were unintentional sins. When you go to Leviticus 4:27, let's go to Leviticus 4:27. I found some very precious things here. One, two, go. If anyone, while he dwelt somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done and be guilty. So, when they committed an unintentional sin, this was what? The sacrifice. Amen. And how did they give it? In a sin offering, a live animal is brought to the altar. Say to the altar. Now, there are significance to this. You will see this is the shadow, and in the New Covenant, especially in the book of Hebrews, you see the substance. So they come to the altar. Sometimes when the high priest the high priest will bring what? A bull for himself. Say a bull. Now, if it was an ordinary person, they will bring a young bull. Sometimes the congregation, they'll bring a sheep. Now, the practice was to place their hands on the head of the animal. By doing so, by placing their hands on the head of the animal, they transferred their guilt. They transferred their guilt, the burden of that sin, on the animal. The animal is killed. When it is slaughtered, the priest will come, place his finger on the blood and strike it on the horn of the altar. Say the horn of the altar. And then he'll pour the remainder of the blood on the base of the altar. Say the base of the altar. Then they will burn the fat of the animal on the altar. And then they will take organs from the remainder parts of the animal outside the camp. Outside the camp. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 that Jesus was killed outside the camp, outside the gates of Jerusalem. So the sin offering is a type and a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now go to, Holy Spirit, remind me. Leviticus. Are you learning? 4. Go to 6. Let me see and show you something. Okay, they sprinkle the blood 7 times, and 7 is the number of perfection before the Lord. And Jesus Christ bled 7 times from his body. Crowns of thorns were put on his head. You know, number 1, his hands was pierced. Number 2, his feet was pierced. Stripes, his back. They plucked his beard. His side was pierced. And there's one more. 7 times. I mean, if you look at it, so 7. He sweated blood. He prayed and sweated blood 7 times. Those things have significance. Amen. Because what happened in the old covenant was a type and a shadow. Yes. Let me get my Bible. So let's look at something. I want to show you something very important about the laying on of hands. I prepare my sermons on my phone and transfer it to my iPad. So, Jesus was killed without the camp. Say, without the camp. Now, why without the camp? Remember that in the old time, once you were leprous, and leprosy is figurative of sin, they were kept what? Outside the camp. So Jesus dying outside the camp was representative of you and I, who were not allowed into the presence of God. So that body of sin had to be judged where? Outside the camp. Now, when you understand this, these are very, very, very important symbolisms of our faith. Where are my notes? Please come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 15, go to verse 15. Verse 15. And the elders of the congregation shall do what? Lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before what? Before the Lord. Let's go to verse 24 again. Want to go? And he must lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offerings before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Are you seeing the pattern? Verse 29. Same thing. Thank you, Jesus. Want to go? And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay. While I was reading this, it just made such an impression on my heart that it's important that you take the doctrine of laying on of hands very seriously. When people lay their hands on you, there is a transference going on. The Bible says, stir up the gift that was put in you by what? The presbytery. By what? The laying on of hands. By the laying on of hands. So those of you who jump from place to place, collecting anointing, looking for miracle. Understand that, you see, the Bible says you do not lay hands on anyone suddenly. That when hands are laid on you, there are possibilities that are transferred on you. there are experiences that are transferred on you. And do you know that even in the New Testament, Paul says that we do what? We ought to do what? Pray everywhere, lifting holy hands. And when we are lifting up our hands, we are doing the same thing. We are placing, we are transferring our burdens. Cast what? Your burdens. We are transferring our load on Jesus with the lifting of our hands, almost as though we are touching him. Tell somebody, be careful who lays hands on you. Every now and then when I see people, I lay my hands on my people. And you see, over time, the thing speaks. Amen. Hallelujah. I just thought, that's not a message for today, but it just came so strongly in my heart while I was studying. Amen. So, the sin offering was compulsory, was mandatory. The sin offering was a very express and poignant picture of the sacrifice of Jesus for the sins of the world. He was a lamb without blemish. 1 Peter 1:9. 1 Peter 1:9. I'm just laying foundations. 1 Peter 1:9. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Sorry, 1:19. I beg your pardon. 1:19. But with what? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Amen. So, the sin offering is really a picture of Jesus Christ. You must know that. And what does it mean? What does it say to us? That the sin offering represents that ultimate sacrifice. It is the basis and foundation of our glory story. Write that down. Without the cross, there is no glory. The sin offering, the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus, the Lamb of God, without which we would forever be plagued with shame. I've shared it that when they brought the different kinds of animals to atone for sins, they placed their hands on the head of the animal as a way of transferring their sins, their guilt, their punishment on him. Then he was slaughtered and the fats burnt and the remainder of the organs burnt outside the camp. A prophetic picture of Jesus' death outside the camp. So the cross of Jesus is our basis and foundation of glory. Say the cross of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. So you see that which happened in Leviticus 9. It was first the sin offering, a type of Jesus. And then what? The burnt offering. Then the peace offering. Then the prophetic word was spoken and fire came and the glory appeared. Is a shadow. Amen. Write this down. The cross of Jesus is the pathway to glory. The cross of Jesus is the pathway to glory. There's no glory without the cross. No crown without the cross. That's why we pray that prayer, that whatever speaks of shame in your life has no right. If you have been to the cross, if you have been to the cross, if you are born again, if you are blood washed and blood bought, shame is illegal in your life. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer. Say, by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God who died in my place, I declare that anything called shame in my life ceases from now. Say that prayer in 30 seconds. Now, when it's time, keep praying. When it's time for the altar call, if you are not saved, you don't qualify for this prayer. If you've not plunged yourself beneath the fountain of blood, that glorious stream, you do not qualify. Amen. Put that Leviticus 9:22 again. So, after the sin offering was offered, the next thing was what? The burnt offering. Say the burnt offering. The burnt offering is similar to the sin offering, in that every now and then it atones for some sins, for some unintentional sins, for some demeanors, from misdemeanors. But what separates the burnt offering from the sin offering is the fact that it's the entirety of the animal that is destroyed and burnt. You see, in the sin offering, there are certain parts that are not destroyed. But the burnt offering is indicative and prophetic of you and I. Of you and I presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. So it's not enough that Jesus Christ died. There is the burnt offering speaks of what? Consecration. Say consecration. Yes. It means, you know, placing yourself on the altar. The burnt offering is one that is consumed wholly, say wholly, by fire and regarded as ascending to God. The word burnt there, if you have a strong concordance, is the word to ascend, or that which goes up in smoke. Amen. Said the Hebrew word for burnt offering there is the word ascend, literally to go up in smoke. Leviticus 1:9. Are you learning? Those of you who don't read Leviticus, you should start reading it. In this church, you will know the word, old and new. Amen. Amen. So we are not shallow. When you have a picture of the old covenant and then read it in perspective with the new covenant, you have a very strong standing. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall what? Burn all. Say all. Say all on the altar. To be what? A burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. This is a picture of our lives. You know, all. God does not want a part of your life. Every now and then we give him our marriage, but we don't give him our job. Or sometimes you give him your job, you don't give him your marriage. Amen. It is indicative of surrendering, of living a consecrated life, of placing your life on the altar. You want to see the glory of God? You've got to be a consecrated person. Your entire life, your mouth, your hands, your money, your business, everything has to be on the altar. Amen. Technically, any offering over the altar was a burnt offering, but in more specific terms, the burnt offering was the complete destruction. You begin to see what, the Bible speaks about crucifying the flesh, you know. Killing and destroying. The flesh is not supposed to be pampered. The only solution to the flesh is destruction, is crucifixion. You kill this flesh, and you do that daily. Present yourself on the altar. Hallelujah. It speaks for, you know, surrendering all. It's a type of Jesus, but it's also, you know, indicative of a consecrated life. Knowing that everything about you belongs to God. For time's sake, I'm going to show you the first instance, or one of the first instances we see, and this was even before the law of Moses came, was in Genesis 8:20, you know, where there was the first instance of burnt offering. I'm going somewhere, and I'm going to land very soon. Amen. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Never forget that there is no altar without sacrifice. And we mentioned last 2 weeks that prophetically, that you are the altar. Remember, you are also the sacrifice. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, remember that we are lively stones built up a spiritual house to offer what? Spiritual sacrifices. Amen. And in Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, Paul shows us that we are what? Living sacrifices. Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that he present your what? Bodies. A living, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Hallelujah. So let me leave that for now. Next we see was what? The peace offering. The peace offering is a bit technical to understand, but one of the things that theologians have said it means, it also means the thanksgiving offering. It means a praise offering. It sounds like it means something that you use to appease someone, but really what it means is, you know, an offering that is given many times in gratitude. Say in gratitude. Hallelujah. You know, let me quickly give you something to. We will not treat the grain offering and the trespass offering. The trespass offering is similar to the sin offering. It's something you give when you've had, you know, altercation with someone, you've done wrong, and, you know, it's an offering that God stipulates. This is also compulsory. Okay? But I will not go to that because of our focus today. The peace offering, we see that in Leviticus 7, 11 to 21. It's also a voluntary sacrifice given to God in three specific instances. It's a free will offering, and all of our offerings, your tithe and your, you know, the substance we give to God can come in that regard. We see that in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 8, Paul spoke about giving, and also that bears witness to the character of giving in the New Testament, that it must be what? Willing, not with compulsion. That's why in this house, when you come, you will never catch me manipulating people to give. That's not the character of the New Testament. You don't force people to give. The spirit of the New Testament is to give by love. And I have found out that when you teach people to love God, they give. Don't coerce people. Don't deceive people. You won't catch us here saying we want to give 1,000, 1 million. Come forward. Do all that pressure we put on people. It's got to be with free will. Amen. Because God loves a cheerful giver. You may take their money, but you will stop their blessing. Because the people are frowning and they are annoyed. You squeeze them. Hallelujah. So they offered what? The peace offering. Is offered as a way of worship and a way of saying thank you to God for unsought generosity. And in this year, you have to learn. I'll be lying to you. See, there is a glory that you attract through giving. Remember Solomon? He offered what? 1,000 burnt offerings. God said, who is this one? God came down. He said, who be this? And God said, what? And it went up as a sweet aroma. I think it's 2 Chronicles 7 from verse 6, from chapter 6. The second way of a peace offering could be was alongside a fulfillment of a vow. Remember when Hannah said, Lord, if you do this, I'm going to what? Give the son back to you. It was done as what? A fulfillment of a vow. To God by bringing Samuel to the temple. On that occasion, she also brought a peace offering to express the peace in her heart towards God concerning her sacrifice. It was a way to say, I have no resentment. I am holding nothing back in my payment of my vow. The third purpose of a peace offering was to give thanks for God's deliverance in an hour of dire need. None of these three reasons to sacrifice had anything to do with propitiation. In other words, making peace, like the, you know, like you would deduce from the meaning. So we see the three scriptures, Leviticus 7:12, thanksgiving offering, free will offering, Leviticus 7:16, and wave offerings, Leviticus 7:30. Amen. So as they laid all of these sacrifices, the priest came and spoke. And the Bible says the fire fell. And the glory of God was revealed. The sin offering. It says it's sin offering. That's what coming through the cross of Jesus. So you are here. You are not born again. You have an opportunity very shortly. You've got to connect with that sin offering. Who is that sin offering? Jesus Christ. That blood has to cleanse you. And after it has cleansed you and bought you, you have to go to the burnt offering. What's the burnt offering? To offer yourself. So in other words, you are not just, you know, some people are born again, but they are not living for God. God is their Savior, but it's not their Lord. The sin offering represents meeting Christ the Savior. The burnt offering represents meeting Christ the Lord. Do you understand? Hope this is not too deep. This is just basic. You see, because people don't preach the word of God so much, you share a bit of this thing, it's like, oh my goodness, it's deep. It's just foundational. Amen. So at the sin offering, that is meeting the Savior. He died for you, shed his blood. But at the burnt offering, that's where you experience him as the Lord, owner, charge. He controls your life. He controls your decision. So is that place where, you know, Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. If it's possible, let this cup pass by. But nevertheless, it's, you know, consecrate the Lord to thee. You know that hymn? Yes. Take my what? Yes. And then peace offering can represent your works, your service, your gifts to God. All of those you've got to apply. Now, here's my message. Hallelujah. John 11, verse 40. Jesus says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Tell somebody, if you believe, you will see. That word, believe, there is the word pistios, from where you have the word pistis. You know, when you read the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11, now faith is the word substance of things hoped for. That word faith there is the word pistis. And let me show you what it means. So when Jesus said, if you believe, that word means if you have faith in. Say, if you have faith in. So you can go ahead and double check with your Strong's Concordance. When it says if you believe, it means if you have faith in. Hallelujah. And what is faith? What is faith? We have said that faith, the Bible defines it that faith is what? The substance of things, what? And what? Hallelujah. The Bible says that faith comes by what? Now, write this down. Faith is persuasion and conviction based on the integrity of God's word and his character. That's the first part of the definition. That's one part. What did I say? Faith is what? Is to have what? Persuasion. Conviction. Based on what? On the integrity of God's word and his character. Faith is connected to who you are believing. It's connected. In fact, that conviction stems from the character of the person who has made you a promise. For example, if I come to Silas and say, Silas, after the service, I have 10,000 for you. Now, if he values me, does evaluation of me, assesses me, based on his experience with me and time working with me, he knows that 10,000 is not what? It's not an issue. Already in his heart, he has substance. Say substance. So, he can already in his mind begin to make 10,000 naira plans. I will buy gala. He has not seen it yet though. Say that's conviction. Say that's conviction. That's one level. Do you understand? Why did he, 5 minutes ago, there was no 10,000 naira. But 10,000 arose based on what I said. Many people are having faith, but God did not see anything. You are claiming you are acting on something that God didn't tell you. Am I teaching? Good. So, this 10,000 naira experience is born out of my promise. And not just my promise, he has weighed me in the balance. And then also, not just my capacity, but my willingness. He knows that PN is somebody who keeps his word. So faith is connected to the person who has made the promise. Now, but that's not the end of faith. The instruction was, I have 10,000 for you. See me after what? Service. So faith is not conviction and persuasion. This is the second part of faith. And that faith is expressed by divine instruction matched with corresponding action that leads to a glorious manifestation. Let me say it again. So faith is persuasion, conviction, based on the integrity of God's word, his capacity to deliver, his capacity to keep his word, his character, all right? That conviction stems from that. But the second part is that faith is expressed by divine instruction because I said, I have what? 10,000 for you. See me. Say, see me. After the service. Now, he may make all the plans for 10,000, but it's predicated upon seeing me. He may go home, he may go to watch football, but until what? So, until you have taken a step of faith, you are not in faith. Faith must always be expressed. Faith has more to do with being an action word than just a mental assent. And it is expressed what? By heeding a divine instruction matched with what? Corresponding what? Action. Which leads to what? Glorious what? Manifestation. Let's take it together. So, you can put it together. Faith is persuasion, conviction based on the integrity of God's word and his character, followed by what? Corresponding action that leads to what? John 2 verse 5. Now, look at John 2 verse 5 and 7. But let's jump to 11. The Bible says, this begin what? Of miracles of Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And what? Manifested what? His glory. And his disciples believed on him, but they did not get here until they fulfilled the requirements of verse 5 and 7. Let's go to verse 5. The thing you have to do for the glory word to appear. Remember Leviticus 9:6, the thing you have to do. So when Jesus said believe is not just a mental assent. There is a doing. I'm about to close. I'm done. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever, say whatsoever. Say whatsoever. He said unto you, do it. Go to verse 7. And there were what? And Jesus said unto them, feel. Remember divine instruction. The Holy Spirit said I should tell you that this year, look out for divine instructions. This is the year, my goodness, this is the year when, like never before, Lord, what are you saying? You want to see the glory of God this year? You don't. Jesus said in John 5, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is right. Year of glory, year of glory, see, year of glory. He says, you will believe. But that belief means to have faith. And that faith is what? Conviction, persuasion, and what? A corresponding action that will lead to what? That if there is a year you want to follow divine instruction, is this one. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water, and they fill them up to the brim. This year, prepare for some outrageous spiritual instructions. People will go this way this year. Everybody will go this way. In fact, some people you admire spiritually will go this way, but God will tell you, go this way. It is as you go this way that you see the glory of God. That's my message today. This is the year of what? Following divine instruction. In other words, to have faith means one word, obedience. This is the year that you want to obey God. And guess what? Obedience is a more superior sacrifice. 2 Samuel 15:22. Is it 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel? Just let me try that. 1 Samuel 15:22. Let's read together very quickly. Are you blessed already? That's the word, though. That's the word for today. That's the word. Blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be what? A performance. And I've said that belief is not just strong mind. No. That belief is having faith in God. And that faith means what? Persuasion. Conviction based on what? The integrity of God's word, his character, his capacity to what? Perform. And that faith is expressed by heeding divine instruction, which means you take action. And as you do it, you see the glory of God. They'll tell you, oh yeah, apply for that job now. But they'll say, the portal is closed. It's okay. Argue. You won't see the glory of God. That's what it is. You feel like sleeping, the Holy Spirit will say, wake up and praise me for 1 hour. Look out for that. Go and give your mother this money. Now. So this right now. I was coming to church today. You see, when God gives you a message, he will, you, the preacher, I had some new package shirts. New. H&C, very nice. Somebody had just brought the package. As I pick it up, he said, you are giving these ones. So I brought almost 10 of them. Because you have to see the glory of God. I won't be shocked if somebody else came here. You see, so when people are bringing bags of shirts, that's the glory that I've... Yes, you see. As you heed divine instruction. And I shared here today that every time I'm ministering, most times, and God gives me a prophetic word, that I'll hear from the testimony. You heard when Pastor Michael said, God told him, he heard a voice, do what? Turn back now. And if you don't, the converse is also true. If you don't heed divine instruction, you may see shame. That was what was going to happen. It's because glory is the opposite of shame. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm bringing this prophetic word in context. See how God speaks to us? Let's read this scripture. Are you being blessed? How many of you feel this is a word from God for you? You know. When I got the... I knew I was going to talk about the glory, but I was praying in tongues from about 1, and I slept about 5. It was around that 4-5 that I got the confirmation. Yes, I'm like, yes. If not, I was just going to come to do some theology. But let's say, Lord, what's the word? Prayed in tongues. You know, I was in my room with my children because they wanted me to sleep with them. But I didn't want to sleep. I was waiting on God. That was my own instruction. Wake up, pray. I should be sleeping with all of these trips. But this is how serious this stuff is. I want to get a word from God. And God said, this year, get ready for what? Divine instructions. If you will follow divine instruction, God will make you a spectacle of his glory. This trip I went in DC was divine instruction. When I knew that I was supposed to go, I got a call from one of the greatest men of God's office trying to discourage me from going. That's why I said this year, God will tell you to do something. You'll be going here. The trend is here. How does water connect to wine? Just scoop the water. Just be going. That is, if you didn't hear well, that's shame. Oh. They'll deal with you. So, caveat also is, don't just act to be sure who told you. That's where I'm closing with. Let's read this scripture. 1 Samuel 15:22. Are you being blessed? Want to go? And Samuel said, had the Lord great delight, what? In burnt. Remember, we talk about burnt offering that attracts the glory. Obedience is a more superior sacrifice. And what? Sacrifices. As in what? Obeying what? The voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey. Shabakarata. And to hearken. Are you hearing? See, obedience is a higher sacrifice. Saul said, no, this fine calf I've seen. Let me preserve this one for what burnt offering. God said, did I tell you to do that? Someone was leading, I think it was at worship His Majesty yesterday. When Pastor Elsie went up, she kept saying, stop, stop, stop. When she said stop, the singers, you know, the song was jiving like a sacrifice. You know, praise and worship, a type of sacrifice. The leader of the event said, it's okay, let's round off. But because it was so sweet, they continued. I said, to obey. That more fire you want to put can easily become strange fire. To stop is better than that more anointing you want to release. Someone say the ways of God. Just don't impress God. Just do what he said he should do. This is that year. For someone, the difference between you seeing the glory of God is just forgive that person. Call that person. God will give you instructions. So, if faith in God is simply obedience, it introduces us to the concept of hearing God. That hearing God's voice and knowing that he's the one who sent us. Do you understand? And I wrote something down. For some people, we must begin that adventure into, Lord, I want to know that it's you speaking. And you can't do that outside the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by word. We'll still get to the word of God. Last, my word. Hallelujah. And after you've heard, after you've acted in faith, I wrote something here. After you've acted in faith. So if the secret of experiencing the manifest glory is acting on divine instruction, it therefore brings up the need to be able to accurately hear divine instruction. Blessed is she or he that believe, for there shall be what? A performance of those things which were told him from the Lord. From the Lord. From the Lord. Luke 1:45. From the Lord. This action you are taking, who told you? Before you blame God, did God tell you this one? And if he told you, have you acted on it? I wrote here, the proof of your belief is in your obedience. Say, the proof of your belief is in your obedience. You show you believe in God as demonstrated in your obedience. And let me add, prompt obedience. Then I wrote here, your belief is shown in your obedience, but your trust is evident in your patience. You have need of what? Patience. So don't throw away the confidence, trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. So, as we hear divine instruction and we act on it, there's another need, what? For patience. Hallelujah. Faith is the action we take, that conviction and action we take. Faith is conviction plus action. Just write that simple equation down. All that long technical thing I told you. Faith is what? Conviction plus action equals, you know, so that whole thing can also be called obedience. So, as you act in faith, there is need what for patience. Patience is that force. It's a force. But after you've exerted the force, trust is that attitude, is that place of patience. I was going to give you the story of Abraham, but let me leave it. Maybe I'll just read it. Let's read Romans 4 and close with it. Romans 4. NLT, let's just read it. Romans 4, NLT, everybody. Have you been blessed today? Have you received the word from God? And then we'll pray now. Everybody, let's read. Abraham was humanly speaking. It had made him accepted. For the scripture tells him, Abraham believed God. Stop. Remember what I told you what believe is. Believe is having faith in God, the word of God. And that faith translates into what? Action. Because after a while, remember when he believed God, God said, oh yeah, go and what? The divine instruction was what? Go and what? Offer up what? Isaac. When you say you've had faith, I'll ask you, where is the divine instruction to act upon? Continue. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Continue. Keep reading. We studied this some time back. Continue. Clearly. Continue. 17. I know why I want us to read this. God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And so, we're talking about giving glory to God. Sometimes, it's not even when you have a manifestation only that God is glorified. God is glorified even with, you know, the lack of evidence, but with the faith and trust you exhibit in him. Amen. So continue. He was fully convinced Remember I said that faith is what? Persuasion, what? Conviction, based on what? The integrity of what? And character of God's word, and matched with what? Corresponding what? Action. Amen. Continue. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counts, for our benefit, amen. Now, let me round up by saying your belief is shown in your obedience. I've said that. But your trust is evident in your patience. So, this year, God's going to give you what? Divine what? Divine what? Divine what? Now, and after you've carried out those instructions, acted in faith, the Bible says you have what? Need of what? Patience. I wrote here that the posture of trust is also what? Thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Patience is not a time of inactivity. It is the attitude you demonstrate while you wait. You can't be complaining while you wait and claim to trust God. Let me say that again. You can't be complaining while you wait and claim to trust God. Trust is the attitude of rest and assurance you have in God. Remember, the Bible says Sarah's womb was what? Dead. But the Bible says Abraham was what? Fully persuaded. Fully, say fully. So, trust is the attitude of rest and assurance you have in God. Even when there is no sign of what you were told to happen. Hallelujah. 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 So we're going to pray two prayers. If experiencing God's glory is predicated on what? Acting on what? Divine instructions. What should you be praying for? Lord, help me to hear you. Help me to hear you like never before. And invest in the word. Faith comes by what? Are you ready to pray? And then secondly, we're going to pray the divine instruction you need to enter into your next level of glory. Lord, give it to me. I told you, I acted on a few instructions and I experienced the glory of God and still experiencing the glory of God. This is the thing that you will do. And what? The glory of God will appear. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will do what? And we said, believe is what? Faith in what? God. Faith in his capacity to deliver. Faith in his integrity. Faith in his rhema word. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Logos. And hearing by the rhema. The second one is revealed, specific, tailor-made word. And when acted upon, leads to what? A glorious outcome. Are you ready to pray? Can we stand and pray in the spirit? Have you been blessed this morning? As the Lord sent you a word, open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. No, loud, loud, loud. Loud, loud, loud. I can't hear you, Oasis. Digest that word. Pray in tongues loud for one. In fact, hold someone's hand. Two by two, two by two. Hold someone and just charge them up. Some of you know that this is a confirmation of the word you've received already from God. This is a year of heeding divine instructions. Divine instructions. And then you will see the glory of God. The glory will be revealed. His glory, his beauty, his honor. In Jesus' name. Listen to me. There are times you'll be in the office and the Holy Spirit will give you a word for someone. Or the Holy Spirit will tell you, pray for the sick. How many of you have had instances where God told you to do something? You didn't do it. And then that thing now happened. And you're like, and God told me this thing. You missed out on the glory. And I've told you that the converse is also true. Not hidden can lead to shame. I've shared this story before. I was praying in the Spirit and meditating. Praying in the Spirit loud. And by the way, one of the routers of that information, of that direction, is praying in the Spirit. Yes. You pray in the Spirit, and there's a point where the comforter takes over, and then you suddenly feel like thoughts, a thought or something resting on you. That's not just your mind. That's the Spirit witnessing instruction to you. I remember praying in the Spirit on a Monday morning, just edifying myself, and I heard three words: Dokbe, Alaji, Dupe. Dokbe, Alaji, Dupe. I have an auntie, her name is Dokbe. Now, that's a prophetic word. That's faith. That's divine instruction. That's a word of what? Knowledge. The Holy Spirit revealed to me, it meant there's an Alaji who was going to dupe your auntie. What did I do? Remember, faith is not just what conviction. Faith is conviction that is matched with what corresponding action. I knew I was to call Dokbe, Auntie Dokbe, to say, Auntie, while I was praying, the Holy Ghost revealed to me that there is an Alaji who was going to dupe you. I procrastinated. And then I just felt, before she thinks that I have this spirit thing. Sometimes that thing is pride. Because you don't want to miss it. And then they now feel that, maybe you are supposed to be spiritual. Pride. Pride has many colors. So there's one, pride that is like humility. Not doing what God asks you to do is pride. Jesus made himself of no reputation. To do the work of God, you must not have reputation. At least miss it and then know how not to miss it. At least you know that this way I heard, this is not how to hear God. Wednesday morning, I heard on Monday, Wednesday morning, Dr. Sister called me. He said, Pastor Nat, then I was not even a pastor, Nat, if you have time, call your auntie, Dr. And Alaji duped her yesterday, Tuesday, of 7 million naira, years ago. Some of you know that when I hear something, I call you now. I learned the hard way. At 3 a.m., I will call you. You see, so my not acting on divine instruction brought shame, a situation of shame. Are you ready to pray? Lift up your right hand. Say, Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
the grace
to hear
and do
the grace
to hear you like never before
and do
this year
of grace
and glory I receive now. Open your mouth and pray. For it is God who works in us both to will and do. Open your mouth. Divine instructions. Hearing ears, seeing eyes. Rapalaha, In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
I don't know why I said this. I said, perhaps, just perhaps, NSPPD or Hallelujah Challenge was not our original ideas. Maybe it was somebody else's idea. Perhaps Facebook, let me say something, was originally an idea for a child of God who did not act on the word of God. Think about that. Think about that. Think about it in that light. And God will have to move on. Oh, you think Facebook is not God's plan? It's part of the tools to reach the nations of the earth. There are many ideas that believers have not acted on. God will look for somebody who's available. May God not replace you.
Amen.
Put your hands on your head. Say, My divine instruction. My prophetic word. The word I need.
To act upon.
To enter. That next level of glory.
I receive it now.
And I receive grace.
Say,
God is able.
To make all grace.
Abound towards me.
Say, I have all sufficiency.
In all things.
And I abound.
Unto every good work.
Say, I will walk worthy.
Of the Lord.
Unto all pleasing.
Open your mouth and pray that.
See,
I'm strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The ability to do, to hear and do.
I receive it.
Keep praying. Some of you, what's stopping you from entering your mighty destiny is an instruction. It's acting on an instruction. That next global visibility, that next level of power and glory is a divine instruction. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
The difference between my marrying this lady here was going to Eket. What's the difference? Just agreeing to go on a mission trip. That's the difference. Now, let me tell you the implication of that decision. David, my son, Zoe, other destinies, other generations were predicated on action. If you look at it this way, the cost for not hearing and doing what God says. It can hinder a generation. The opportunity cost in not hearing and doing. Sometimes it's a life. That's why God takes obedience seriously. That's why He counted it as righteousness for Abraham. Believing me and doing. God says you are righteous. It's a big deal. Obedience is better. Say, I receive grace. I have grace. Say, obedience is my nature.
Obedience is my nature.
I hear and do. God works in me. Both to will and do.
Both to will and do.
Of His pleasure. Lift your hands and give Him thanks.
Thank you, Jesus.
Have you been blessed this morning? This is your prophetic word. Before I leave now, remember I told you Leviticus 9:6. They began from where? The sin offering. To where? The burnt offering. To the peace offering. The story of glory begins from the cross. Begins at the cross. If you are here and you've not plunged your life beneath that fountain of blood, the ultimate sin offering, the Lamb of God, Jesus, has not washed you, has not bought you. That's the starting point. You have to begin from the altar of sacrifice, where the blood is, where the animal is slain and the blood is placed on the horns of the altar and shed on the base of the altar. You are here. There is no glory for you if you are not born again. Christ in the hope of glory. This glory we are talking about is a person, Jesus. Every eye closed, head bowed. You want to come under that blood. You want to say, Pastor Nathaniel, I'm not born again. I don't even qualify for this glory. But I've heard a word today. Without fear, without shame, wherever you are, raise your hands. Raise your hands. God bless you. God bless you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit at work. Now, you can imagine that people will hear this word and reject him. So he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, but men love darkness. No. To reject Jesus is to reject glory. To reject Jesus is to love shame. Wherever you are, raise your hands. Now, those of you raising your hands, even if it's one person, just run towards me now. Just run. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Come. Come. The rest of us pray in the Spirit. Oh, Father, we thank you. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Wherever you are, run to Jesus. I said the rest of us stand. Hacking. Yeah. Please clap. Please clap. Come on, put your hands together. You've got to be excited. People are coming to Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Souls are a big deal to us. They are a big deal to Jesus, to God. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Those in the overflow downstairs, come, 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 come. You begin your journey to glory here. This is the altar of sacrifice where the sin offering was slain, and he places that blood on you, and that blood justifies, sanctifies. Put Romans 8:30. Remember, we said the end goal is what? Glory. Those he did what? Predestined. He did what? Exactly. So when you start here at the altar of sacrifice, the end what? Is glory. Put verse 30. Go back to verse 29. Let me show them. 29. For whom he did what for you? He did what? Yes. Continue. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did what? Predestined. Then he called. And whom he called, he justified. Then he did what? Say, glory is the bus stop. Anybody here? To reject Jesus is to reject glory. Ministers, quickly minister to them. Quickly, 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 quickly lead them. The rest of us, lift your hands and give him thanks. Thank him for a visitation. Thank him for his word. For some of you, you don't even need a new direction. You need to act on the one you've been given. Have you been blessed this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise.